الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد we continue our lesson with regards to the story of the father of mankind the story of Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام we have seen in our previous class that Adam he is the father of mankind And that Adam, alayhi salam, he is the first of all prophets. He is the first of all prophets. And that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create Adam, he took a handful of the earth, from every portion of the earth. And we know that the earth, the soil is different colors and different types. Different colors and different types. And from the earth, there is soil that is soft and nice and easy and beneficial with much nutrition and the likes. And there's other types of earth that is harsh, it's hard, and it's salty, and it's not beneficial, and plants do not grow there. And likewise, some of the earth is dark, and other parts are light, and some of the earth is white, and other parts are red or black, and the likes like this. And for this reason, the children of Adam, they have come with different colors and different manners and temperaments. Some of them are white and some of them are black and some of them are light and some of them are dark and some of them are nice and some of them are mean and some of them are kind and some of them are rude. And this is the wisdom behind that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took a handful of the earth in this manner and created Adam from that. And the Shaykh, he mentioned that he took the handful and he formed Adam and then he also put water on that until it became clay. Until it became like clay. And then after that, it was left. The clay was left to dry until it became like fakhar. The Shaykh, he mentioned fakhar at-tain ba'da an yutbakh. The clay after it has been baked. And then after this, Allah, He breathed into Adam a soul that He had created for him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, Allah created Adam with His hands. And created a special soul for Adam and breathed that into him in a manner befitting the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then also out of honor for Adam, Allah azza wa jal, He ordered the angels to prostrate before Adam and all of them prostrated except for one who was amongst the angels but not from them. His name was Iblis. La'anahu Allah. Naam, his name is Iblis. La'anahu Allah. He refused to prostrate. Why did he refuse to prostrate? He thought he was better than Adam. This is an important point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ What prohibited you from prostrating before him whenever I ordered you? What did Shaitan say? What did Iblis say? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ I'm better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ He said, I'm better than Adam. I'm better than him. I'm not going to prostrate before him. I'm better than him. You created me from fire. And you created him from clay. So Iblis, he thought that he's better than Adam. And he thought that he's better than Adam because Allah created Iblis from fire. And he created Adam from clay. So he thought like this, but he was wrong. And in reality, fire is not better than clay. And clay and the earth is something that is solid and it is sound. And it is firm and it is beneficial and you can build with it. And as for fire and flames, then this is something that is light and it's something that is reckless and it burns up and goes away quickly. As for the earth, then this is something that is beneficial and good and it's a means for building. And as for fire, then it is something that is harmful and it is light and it is a means for destruction. So which one is better? The means for building or the means for destruction? The one that stays and remains then that and that is firm or the one that is reckless and goes away. That's right. So therefore, Iblis, he was wrong. Adam, he's better. And for this reason, Allah ordered them to prostrate before Adam. But this was the case. And this was all according to the wisdom and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to test mankind after them. So the first sin that occurred in mankind which was the sin of jealousy and jealousy and arrogance, and jealousy and ignorance. Jealousy and arrogance proceeds from ignorance. Ignorance, either not knowing the true reality, They're not knowing the true reality and the honor and the authority and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what was it? It was arrogance and pride. Arrogance and pride and jealousy. This is what caused shaitan to refuse and to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the angels, they prostrated and they obeyed Allah. And it is shaitan, the devil, waliyadu billah, Iblis, who refused to obey Allah. So after this, the author, he mentioned, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, that Allah, he ordered Adam to go to the angels that were sitting there. And he told him to say to them, assalamu alaikum. And they responded. How did they respond? Assalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullah. They increased and said, wa rahmatullah. And this is the greetings and the salutations of Adam and his children. And it is the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a believer, whenever he meets his brother, he gives him assalam. And it's a great supplication and a dua, an invocation, asking Allah to make that person safe in his religion and safe in his health and his wealth and his property and his home and his family. May Allah, who is As-Salam, give you safety and security and protect you in all affairs of your life. This is what it means. As-Salamu Alaikum. Then if you increase, and his mercy likewise, meaning may he increase you in the good that you have and make it firm and stay. Wa barakatuhu, and make him give you more. May Allah give you more and more and more from the good of this life and the hereafter. So this greetings and salutations in reality is a dua, a supplication. So the believers, they always remember Allah. Whenever they meet each other, and whenever they leave each other, and whenever they're together, and whenever they're alone, alhamdulillah. This is the way of a Muslim. So this is the case. After this, it was clarified that Adam, he's alone all by himself. And he is the first of mankind, and there's no one with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for him a spouse and created for him a wife so that they can live together and they can enjoy each other and they can be happy together in the Jannah. What was her name?
Hawa.
Her name was Hawa. Allah created Hawa from Adam. Created her from Adam. So we see here that the first man, he was created from dirt. He was created from clay. He had no mother and he had no father. He had no mother and he had no father. Adam, and there's no men before him. He's the first man, Abu al-Bashr. He is the father of mankind. He was created from clay without a father and without a mother. What about Hawa? What was she created from? She was created from Adam. So she is created from a man without a woman. She is created from a man without a woman. So Adam, he's created from no man and no woman. And his wife was created from him when he's a man. So she was created without a woman. And as for the rest of mankind, and they are created from a man and a woman, except for one man. Who was that?
Adam.
Except for one man. We already talked about Adam. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. What was he created from? He was created from a woman without a man. So this is the creation of mankind. We have a man who was created from dirt, from clay, from soil, from the earth, not from no man and no woman. And we have a woman. She was created from a man only with no woman. And that is Hawa. And the man was Adam. The man is Adam. And the woman who's created without a man, that is Hawa. And then we have a man who's created from a woman without a man. And that is Isa ibn Maryam. And then we have the rest of mankind, and they are created from a man and a woman. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, Adam and Hawa, they are in the Jannah, and Allah had allowed for them to partake and enjoy in everything in the Jannah. All of the food and all of the drink, and they had the best garments and the best clothing and the best food and the best drink. Rather, they're in paradise, enjoying themselves, and they're allowed to have anything that they like and everything that they want except for one tree. They are forbidden from coming near to this one tree. And shaitan, he came to them and he whispered to them and he tricked them and deceived them and pretended to be a good friend and an advisor for them, and he lured them into eating from that tree. At this time, what happened? Whenever they ate from the tree, what happened immediately? Yes. In the back.
They became uncovered.
What became uncovered? Their privates became uncovered. They became exposed. So immediately, whenever they fell into disobedience, they were in a high and a lofty state, and they were covered in the most noble and the best adornment and clothing, and they were in the best of situations and circumstances, and the highest and lofty and best status and rank. And then whenever Shaitan deceived them and they fell victim to the whispers of Shaitan, now at this time they fell lowly, and their privates became exposed. And this is the case with the human being whenever he falls into disobedience. He's falling into a low level and a lowly state, and he's exposing himself and his shame and that which is not good. And this is the reality of sin and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Shaitan, he didn't come and say, you know what, I'm a bad guy, you better watch out. If you follow me and you listen to me, I'm going to lead you to some really bad stuff. I'm going to make you, if you come with me, I'm going to expose your privates to the people and let everybody look at you. They didn't say that. What did he say? إِنِّي لَكُمَ لَمِنْ النَّاسِحِينَ. Oh, I'm a really well-wisher for you. I'm giving you sincere advice. وَقَاسَمَهُمْ. And he swore by Allah. And this is the way of those bad companions likewise. And this is the way of those people who call to sin. They don't come and say that I'm a sinner, I'm upon a bad way, you better watch out. Rather, they come and they make it look and sound good. They make it look and sound nice. Likewise, the people of innovation as well. The people of innovation, they don't come to you and say to you, oh, we're upon innovation, you better watch out. Or this is something newly introduced in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It leads to the anger of Allah and its misguidance. They don't say that. Rather, they say, no, it's very good. Some of them, they even say, look, you can read in the Quran, and they'll misinterpret the statements of Allah. And they'll try to establish innovation like that. But they don't come and say, I'm an innovator, you better watch out, stay away from me. They come and they say, the Quran and the Sunnah, the Quran and the Sunnah. And we see this even today. Some of them, they'll say, Quran and Sunnah, Quran and Sunnah. And then you know what they do? He blow himself up. Allahu Akbar. Quran and Sunnah, Quran and Sunnah. Another one, you know what he does? He come to you and he say, Quran and Sunnah, Quran and Sunnah. Then you know what he starts doing? Dancing around and swinging around and the likes like this. And he'll fall on the ground and the likes like this. And then when you ask him, what are you doing? He said, Quran and Sunnah, Quran and Sunnah. Huh? Like this? This is what they do. This is what they do. Yeah, so it's very important to have good knowledge and firm knowledge so that you can see whenever people are lying and pretending to be nice. And when you can see whenever people are being deceptive and people are being treacherous, and they're like trying to trick you. Because some people, especially on the internet, they really act like they're nice people. Especially on the internet, they're smiling and they're laughing and they're making it look real good, and wallahi, they're liars. They're liars. So many things on the internet, they're lies. Just like Shaitan is lying. I'm advising you, I'm giving you good advice, it's really nice. And many of those things, it looks like it's something, it's not even real, they make it up. It's like computer graphics, and it's like all these different things, and they make it seem to be nice, and make it seem to be good, and it's lies, and you have to be careful. The only way you can be careful from this, and the only way you can be safe from this, is to have the protection of Allah. And from the means to have the protection of Allah is to know Him, and to know His religion, and to know the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Really good to have knowledge. To have firm and good knowledge of Aqidah, and firm and good knowledge of the Sunnah and the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is from the greatest means for you to be safe. For you to be safe from these traps and these tricks of the devils, from mankind, from the devils of mankind, the innovators, and likewise those who are sinful and full of evil and misguidance, like here, like Shaitan. So this is a lesson that we learn. They were deceived and they were tricked, but Allah gave them success. And what did they do? They repented. They repented, and this is the way of a Muslim. And all of us, we make mistakes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullu bani Adam." All of the children of Adam, like Adam, khata. They make lots of mistakes. They fall into sins. Wa khairul khata'ina at-tawwabun. But the best of those who fall into sin. We all fall into sin, right? All of the son of Adam falls into sin. Even the father, even Adam, he fell into sin. But the best of those who fall into sin are who? Are those who repent. After Adam repented, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jalla chose him and accepted his repentance and guided him, and he became upright and good again. And this is the case. If you fall into mistake, if you fall into sin, if you do something you're not supposed to do, you look at it, or you see it, or you taste it, or the likes, then you remember Allah and you ask Him to forgive you, and He will forgive you. And after repentance, a person has a higher level than even before many times, whenever he's sincere and he really feels bad for disobeying Allah. And then he asks Allah to forgive him, he will have a high, high rank again, like Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Like Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is where we had stopped in our previous class, and there's just a very short portion to read, left from what the Shaykh he had mentioned, hafidhahullah. So after this had occurred, after Adam, he was deceived, and he fell into sin, and then he repented, alayhi salatu wasalam. After this, the story continues, and the Shaykh he says, ثُمَّ أَحْبَطَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ وَحَوَّا وَإِبْلِيسِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَحَذَّرَهُمَا مِنْهُ وَأَخْبَرَهُمَا بِأَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لَهُمَا وَلِذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا وَحَذَّرَهُمَا أَنْ يُطِعَاهُ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَأْمُرُ إِلَّا بِالشِّرْكِ وَالْبِدَعِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ وَالْمَعَاصِي وَلِأَنَّهُ يَنْهَى عَنِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَالسُّنَّةِ وَالطَّاعَاتِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَمَنْ أَطَاءَ اللَّهَ وَأَصَى إِبْلِيسَ فَوَحَّدَ اللَّهَ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَنْ أَصَى اللَّهَ وَأَطَاءَ إِبْلِيسَ فَأَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ دَخَلَ النَّارَ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the end of the story. So after this, Adam and Hawa and Iblis, Allah, He sent them all to the earth. Allah sent Adam and Hawa and Iblis, all of them He sent into the earth. And Allah, He warned Adam and his wife, alayhim salatu wasalam, warned both of them from Iblis. And He clarified that Iblis is the enemy for them and for their children. That Iblis, the devil, he's an enemy for Adam and Hawa and the children of Adam and Hawa. And we are from the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So that means Shaytan is our enemy, because he's the enemy of Adam. And he's the enemy of the children of Adam. And we're all from the children of Adam. So therefore our greatest enemy is the devil, Iblis. La'anahullah. That is right. That is right. And Allah, He warned Adam likewise and Hawa from listening to Iblis ever again. From listening to Iblis ever again and obeying him. Because they know what happens whenever they obey him. Huh? After that, they regret. After that, they realize that they did something wrong. Shaytan, he calls to evil. Yeah, he says, so Allah, He warned Adam and Hawa from obeying Shaytan ever again. And then He said, this is because Shaytan, he does not order for anything except for shirk, evil. Shaytan, he orders shirk, and he orders for innovation, and he orders for actions of indecency, and the foul and lowly, and the bad actions, and he orders to disobey Allah. And likewise, Shaytan, he prohibits and forbids tawheed. Shaytan, he forbids tawheed, and he forbids the sunnah, prohibits the people from following the sunnah. And he prohibits and he forbids people from obeying Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he loves to prohibit the people from doing righteous actions. Shaytan, he likes to stop the people right in their tracks from doing good and righteous actions. So the Shaykh, he clarifies now to summarize. So whoever obeys Allah and disobeys Iblis, meaning he makes the tawheed of Allah and he worships Allah alone, then he will enter paradise. But whoever disobeys Allah and obeys Iblis, and meaning that he will fall into shirk and associating partners with Allah, then he will enter the hellfire. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something to be very well aware of. Shaytan, Iblis, and his tribe, his tribe of the devils, they call to evil. They call to evil. They call to a bad way. They call to indecency, they call to vulgarness, they call to bad speech, and foul manners, and lowly conduct. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He orders goodness, and piety, and righteousness, and purity, and everything that is good. So, some, they follow the way of Allah azza wa jal, and they obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they have the promise, the glad tidings that the prophets and messengers came with of paradise. And others, they disobey Allah, and they turn away from the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they have the threat that the prophets and messengers came with of the punishment of Allah and His anger in the hellfire. And His anger in the hellfire. So in order to be successful, we have to obey Allah and disobey Iblis. And those who are losers, what do they do? They obey. Who do they obey? The losers, who do they obey? They obey the shaitan and they disobey Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, He orders you to pray. Establish the prayer. Pray five times a day. What is Iblis' order? Don't pray. No, don't pray. Go back to sleep. Man, it's early in the morning. What do you mean? Get up out of bed. Go back to sleep. You're sleeping so good. It's so nice in here. Why are you going to get up for Fajr for? Like this, shaitan, this is what he's going to say. This is what he's going to say. But what does Allah order?
Pray.
You have to get up and pray. You have to establish the prayer. You know the one who doesn't get up and pray Fajr, you know what happens to his ears?
It gets big.
So, who knows what happens to the ears of the one who doesn't pray Fajr? The shaitan pees in his ears. Oh, the billahi min dhalik. Yes, in his ears. In his ears. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us about. What about this? Allah Azza wa Jal, He orders the people to be nice to their mother and father, to be kind to your abu and your ummi. Huh? Allah, you have to be nice to them. You have to respect them. You can't talk back to them. You can't yell at them. You can't call them silly names. Not even if you're joking. No. The status of the parents is way greater than that. You can't joke and say bad things to them and say, "Oh, I'm only joking." La. Rather, the parents, they must be respected and honored. This is what Allah, He has commanded. Who is the one who tells you talk back to your parents? Who is the one who tells you to yell at your mom? Who is the one who tells you to say bad words to your dad? Who is the one who tells you to not do whatever your dad said?
Iblis.
Iblis. Who are you going to obey?
Allah.
So that means you have to be nice and not be mean. You have to say good words and not say bad words. And you have to do what you're told and not disobey your parents. Because if you disobey your parents, you're disobeying Allah. Huh? You're disobeying Allah. And if you disobey your parents, that means you're only obeying and following Shaitan. Shaitan. Waliyadu billah. Allah, He orders for the people to eat food that Allah's name is mentioned on. And for people to stay away from pork and eating the fowl and the lowly foods, that's no good. But what does Shaitan call to? Shaitan is calling to you to eat the pork chops and to eat the pepperoni that's from the swine and the filth of the pig and the likes like this, and to eat all of the bad food that the other than the name of Allah slaughtered on. This is what Shaitan, He calls to eat these filthy and gross food. That's no good, and that's not healthy, and that's bad for you. We understand that. Allah, He says, do not drink alcohol at all. Alcohol is super bad for you and make you crazy and lose your mind and do so many bad things. But Shaitan, what does he say? Come on, just try it. Everybody's doing it. Man, just try it. Everybody's doing it. Look at them. They're doing it. They're all laughing. And they're laughing now, but wait till about 2 hours later, they're all going to be throwing up and they're going to be doing some things so bad. Some of them are even going to be dead, and others are going to be in handcuffs being put in the jail. And the likes like this, all because they listen to Shaitan and drink alcohol. And drink alcohol. So this is the way of Shaitan. He calls to disobey Allah. And in order to be successful, you have to disobey Shaitan. You have to disobey Shaitan. The thing about Shaitan, this is the problem, but this is from the wisdom of Allah likewise. The thing about Shaitan is, you cannot see him. You cannot see him. You cannot see him. Can you see Shaitan?
No.
You can't see him, but you know what he can see? He can see you. He can see you. Huh? But how can you be safe from an enemy who you can't even see him? How are you going to protect your... Can you imagine that? There's an enemy. Do the enemies like you?
No.
Do enemies want good for you?
No.
Enemies try to help you and keep you safe?
No.
What do enemies do? What does the enemy try to do to you? Huh? He try to kill you. He try to harm you. He try to hurt you. He try to rob you. He try to steal from you. He try to trip you. He try to make you fall. Try to make you slip. Try to make you look silly. Try to expose you. This is what enemies do. This is what enemies do. Understand that? Who is the greatest enemy?
Shaitan.
Shaitan is the greatest enemy. But this enemy, you can't even see him. Like if there's an enemy, you don't like him, like, or, you know, some bad person in the neighborhood, you don't like him. When you see him, you come outside, you see the enemy going down on his bike, you turn around and you go back inside. Right? You turn around and go back inside. Or you see the enemy coming around the corner, you go and hide under the bush, right? You go and hide around the corner or in the lights like this, and you say, "Oh Allah, help me protect me from this bad kid," like this, and you hide from him because you see him coming. But what about the devil? You cannot see him. How are you going to protect yourself from this shaitan? You can't even see him. Huh?
Yesterday you were talking about how you'll never fall into haram if you don't go near it.
Uh-huh.
So how you protect yourself from an enemy that you can't see by just not like even going close from haram?
But if you can't see him, you don't go close to the haram. That's right. But shaitan is going to call you to the haram. Huh?
By asking Allah for protection.
Ahsanta. By asking Allah for protection. That's the only way to be safe from the devil, is to be truthful in your faith and to be sincere in your belief and to trust Allah Azza wa Jal and to beg Him and ask Him to protect you. And anytime some bad things come to your mind, some bad thoughts come to your mind, you say, A'udhu billah. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Some bad thoughts come to your mind, you want to hurt your little brother, or you want to talk back to your mother, or you want to disobey your father, what do? Who's telling you to do this? Who's telling you? Go hit your brother. Go steal your brother's toys. Go do this to your brother. Go do that to your sister. Who is saying that to you?
Shaitan.
Shaitan, he's saying that to you. Huh? This is shaitan whispering that to you. So what are you supposed to do when shaitan whispers to you? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. But the big point here, may Allah bless all of you, you can't just be like, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Like that with your tongue. You just say it like, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Like some people, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Huh? Well, that's not going to work. What do you have to do along with that?
Huh? You have to be sincere.
You have to be sincere. Where's sincerity at? In your heart. So when your tongue has to say, I seek refuge with Allah from the cursed devil, but your heart has to have to really be seeking protection with Allah. You have to want Allah to protect you. You have to hope that Allah will keep you safe. You can't just say it and not have anything going on in your heart. You can't just have words that are empty with no sincerity, with no truthfulness. No, you have to have hope. When you call on Allah, you have to hope in Allah. Whenever you ask Allah, you say, A'udhu billah, oh Allah, I seek refuge with you. Meaning, oh Allah, protect me. I can't see this guy. I can't even see the shaitan. I don't even know where he's at, but I know he's whispering to me right now. These are not good whispers. And then I want Allah to protect me. So that means you have to say it with your tongue. And you have to hope it with your heart. If you do it like this, Allah, He will protect you. If you do it like this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. From the benefits of this story that we want to take, that we want to remember for sure. And this story right here is the true story likewise. Remember that, huh? This is not made up story. This is a true story. This is the creation of the first human being. How was the first human being created? By the Creator. Allah created him from the earth in the manner that we have discussed previously. So, whenever Allah created Adam, He created him in the best way also. And it's come in the narrations that Adam is very handsome, and he's very nice, and he is very strong, and he's built in the best manner. And he looked very good. Allah created him in the best manner. You understand that? So, there's a refutation here. Some people, you know what they say? The human being is created from? Like some people that say that around here in these neighborhoods, some of these schools those people go to, you know what they say? They say that they're created from monkeys. Yeah, that's what they say. They say that they're created from monkeys. They said that first man, he was a monkey, and then he like started walking a little bit different, and then pretty soon he stood up, and then after a little bit of time, he changed and from being a monkey to being a man. That's what they say, huh? Yeah, they call it the theory of evolution. What is a theory?
Evolution.
What is a theory? A theory. Somebody is not even sure. Not even a fact. Somebody, you're just guessing. I think maybe it's like this. That's called a theory. So they got theories. Huh? But what do we have?
Facts.
We have facts. We have haqq. We have truth. We have wahyun. Min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have revelation. There's no such thing as evolution. The story of Adam is a refutation of that and clarification of that. The proper creed and proper belief with the beginning of mankind is that Allah created Adam. And from Adam, He created Hawa. And from them came many men and women all the way until today. And the wisdom from creating them is to test them and to try them. To test them and to try them in their eyes and in their ears and in their hearts. And with the haram and the haram. And to hold them to account on the day of resurrection. And to enter those who are good into paradise. And to disgrace those who are disbelievers and disobedient with a hellfire. This is the wisdom behind the creation. There's no evolution. There's no evolution. This is falsehood. Do not believe that Darwin's theory, the theory of evolution, all of these things that they make up and they lie to the people about in the schools around here, that's falsehood. We don't believe in lies. Muslims, alhamdulillah, they do not believe and lies. From the greatest lies is they say that human being was created from a monkey. You know why they say that? Because they try to make people believe that there's no creator. This is why. They're liars. They're liars. They say that there's no creator. That this world just fell like this. Just happened to come together and then it just turned into a world all of a sudden like this out of nowhere. That's what they say. That's what they say. They're called liars. They're called liars. They're also called, no, dude, we should be aware of this because there's a great war right now. And they're trying to establish this, atheism. Atheism, disbelieving in the creator. They say there's no God. This is like this. This is what they claim. And this is from the means of that. To say that, there's evolution. There's no, Allah didn't create Adam. Allah didn't create Adam. You know why they say that? Because they don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in Allah. This is all falsehood. This is very dangerous. And another trick that they have likewise to lead the people away, and they try to make it sound nice, they have this other word that they say. Instead of believing that Allah, He's the creator, they say, Mother Nature created everything. They say, Mother Nature created everything. They say, who created the trees? They say, oh, Mother Nature created the trees. They say, who created the ocean? So Mother Nature created the ocean. Where did the ducks come from? Oh, Mother Nature created the ducks. Yes, this is what they claim. That's all false. Mother Nature, where did they get this from? Huh? They just made it up. What are they? Liars. They're liars. They're lying. They're lying. Whether Allah, He's the creator. Allah, He is the provider. Allah, He is the sustainer. Allah created everything. He's powerful and strong. He's alive and never dies. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He's the most gracious and most merciful. And He's the most severe in punishment. And they are lying. And they're lying. And this is from the means. And even we will find, we should know about this. Parents should know about this. Even in some of the homeschooling books. And the homeschooling books, they enter into these books, atheism. In this manner like this. And they'll have lessons for the child. And they'll have lessons with pictures. And they'll have a picture of a tree. And a picture of a plant. And a picture of a cow. And then have a picture of a house. And a picture of a car. And the exercise will tell you, you have to write the words of all of the things that are created by man over here. And you have to write the words of everything that's created by Mother Nature over here. So now the children is going to do this like this. In this manner, putting all the things that's created over here by the human being, like the house and the car. And then they claim that Mother Nature created the tree and the cow and the plants. This is falsehood. And this is a lie. And this is ingraining the seed of atheism in the heart of the child. This is shirk and this is disbelief. Waliyadu billah. So this is something to be aware of. This is something to know and to realize that they're trying to push this in these days. Atheism. And this is also a sign of the end of the times. At the end of the times, there's not going to be anybody who's going to say Allah, Allah. And when the end of the times come, the people, they will not believe in Allah. And this and the hour will be established upon them. Waliyadu billah. So to be diligent about learning the creed, and learning the aqidah, knowing the truth with its proof and evidence. And from that, the story of Adam alayhi salam, he's the first man created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from him, He created his wife. And from the two of them, all of mankind have come until this day and will continue coming until Allah decrees and establishes the hour and the day of judgment. The hour and the day of judgment. Do you understand this?
Yes.
This is a very important point and great benefit. Likewise, from the benefits of this story, is that from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, He has created Iblis. He has created the devil. And there is great wisdom behind that. And that is to test mankind and to try them. And based upon that test and that trial, there will be people who are successful. And there will be people who will strive against their souls to believe in the unseen, to believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, although they cannot see. Although they cannot see. This is a test. This test is established by way of the creation of Iblis, and because he calls to evil, and he calls to that which is foul, and Allah, He calls to that which is good. And so those who believe in Allah and the unseen, and believe in His angels, and believe in His prophets and books, and believe in the revelation, and follow the message that Allah has sent with the prophets and messengers, the message of Islam, then they have the promise of paradise, and they have the promise of goodness and happiness that never ends in the hereafter. And as for those who turn away, then they have the threat of the hellfire. So this is from the wisdom of the creation of Iblis. But we should know that Iblis, he's the enemy of mankind. He's the enemy of mankind. And the very first trick that he tried was lying and deceiving. And the very first thing that he wanted to do, what was his goal? What was his goal? Why did he want to do to Adam and Hawa.
It's because he wants to go. He wants everyone to go there and
to the hellfire.
Because he went there.
Yes, he wants everybody to be along with him, and he wants to be a loser. What do they say about this? Misery loves company. Misery loves company. People who are miserable, they just can't stand anybody else being happy. Everybody got to be miserable with them. So because he can't be happy, then he wants everybody to be sad with him. Because he has to go to the fire, he wants everybody to be in that fire with him because he's been exposed. He wants everybody else to be exposed with him. So this is why Allah had warned us from following Iblis. But the point is now that Iblis, what did he want to do? He wanted to expose Adam and Hawa. That was his goal. For them to eat from the tree, then they will become exposed. They will become exposed. We understand that? What happened whenever they ate from the tree? They become exposed. Their privates were exposed. They were stripped of their honor and their clothing. And they were stripped of that raiment and the adornment that protected their private parts. And protected their so'ah. You know what the so'ah is?
Heart.
The so'ah is the?
Heart.
Is the awrah. The awrah is called the so'ah. The so'ah. لِيَنْزِعَانْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا مِنْ سَوْآتِهِمَا. This was his plot and his plan. Shaitan, he wanted to remove from them their garments and their clothing so he can expose their so'ah. Their so'ah, so he could expose their private parts. So he could expose their private, this is what make them shameful. So it's called a so'ah from a su'ah. The private parts. Allah, he called it the so'ah. This is because انْكِشَافُهَا انْكِشَافُهَا يُسُوءُ صَحِبَهَا. The one who, whenever his private parts become exposed, what happens? Huh? Imagine a man all of a sudden his private become exposed in front of everybody. What do you think? He'll like that? No, he will not like that. هذا الانكشاف يسوء جدا. So whatever, that's what is called so'ah, something bad. So it's known that exposing private parts in front of other people is a bad thing. It's not a good thing. To the extent it's called so'ah. The whole private part is called so'ah. It's from the same word as something that's bad and no good. And this is because a person, whenever his shameful parts become seen and exposed to the people, it doesn't make him happy. It makes him feel bad and no good. So this is something that is known. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had given them the best clothing. And he had given them the best adornment. And they had clothing outwardly, covering their privates. And likewise, clothing that is a means of adornment and beauty. And also they had something inside as well. It's called taqwa, piety in the heart. Whenever the piety in the heart goes away, then what happens to the awrah?
They get exposed.
It becomes exposed. This is the point that we want to make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, he mentioned the story of Adam in the very beginning. Anybody know this surah? Al-A'raf. What number? Which number is that? Which number is that?
24?
Number 7. Who said that? Number 7. Ahsanta. It's number 7. Allah, he mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala the story of Adam. And then after that, Allah, he addressed the children of Adam with a number of verses, 3 of them. Every one of them starting, Ya Bani Adam, Ya Bani Adam, Ya Bani Adam. Allah, he mentioned the story of Adam and what happened to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And then after that, Allah, he addresses the children of Adam. Those verses, Allah, he says, Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التقوى ذلك خير ذلك من آيات الله لعلهم يذكرون. O children of Adam, verily we have sent down to you your garments and your clothing that you may cover your private parts by way of, and also as in a means of adornment and a means of beautification. So therefore the wisdom behind the clothing is that it will cover the private parts, and likewise it's a means of beautification. So a person, he puts on garments and clothing. This is a favor and blessing from Allah. If we look at the cows, do they have garments?
No.
Are their private parts covered? No. If you look at the dogs and the camels and the cats, they're walking around with their private parts?
No.
Exposed. As for the children of Adam, Allah had blessed them. Allah had honored them and blessed them, and he had given them clothing that covers their private parts. This is a blessing from Allah. So the lesson that we learn now is that our clothing is a blessing from Allah. Our clothing, the fact that we have clothing to cover our private parts and our shameful parts with, is a favor and blessing from Allah. And on top of that, likewise, that clothing is a means of beautification and adornment. You see the brother, whenever he has a new thobe on, his privates are covered, right? On top of that, he's looking handsome and nice. He's looking handsome and nice. He has a new thobe on. He has a new garment on. MashaAllah, he's looking very handsome and very nice. So this is the blessing of clothing. First, it's a means to cover the private parts. Such a great favor. And likewise, it means to beautify oneself. But even better than that is another type of clothing. وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ And the clothing and the adornment of piety and righteousness, that is better. So likewise, the religion, following Allah's commandments and obeying the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being upright upon the deen, this is also a type of clothing, a type of an adornment, makes you look beautiful. So the outside has beauty in the clothing, and the inside likewise has beauty in the religion, in the deen of Allah azza wa jal, by believing in Allah, and by having the good and noble manners of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person, he can be beautiful inside and outside. What do you say about somebody who's got a really nice thobe on, he's got a big beard, he's looking very nice and handsome, and then whenever he starts talking, what are you looking at? What's wrong with you? What's your name? Man, get out of the way. Let me sit right there. But he's got a big, nice white thobe on, big beard, nice hat, looks very handsome and everything, but when he starts talking, he's just very mean and rude. Is that nice?
No.
Not at all. So if somebody's outside is very nice, looking handsome, and he's very beautiful, but inside he's ugly, inside he's mean, inside he's corrupted, will that outside appearance benefit him with Allah?
No.
What about, on the other hand, maybe somebody, he's poor, he doesn't have nice clothing, he would like to, but he doesn't have the wealth to purchase it, he has like old regular thobe on maybe, and maybe he just has, you know, maybe some old shoes kind of wore out because he can't afford anything else, but inside his heart he loves Allah. He obeys Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever you talk to him, he's very kind and he's very gentle and he's very nice. He's very respectful. What do we say about him?
MashaAllah.
MashaAllah. Allahu barik. Right? So now, because although his outward appearance may be not so good, but his inward appearance makes him
better
and beautiful. So he benefited from this. Many of the Salaf and the scholars of Hadith, some of them were blind. From the Tabi'een, the students of the Confess, some of them were blind. Others were handicapped. One of them, his name is A'raj. A'raj means he's got a limp. And he can't walk right. Others, he had a problem with his elbow. He can't move his hand. But there's some of them that had these physical handicaps. And appearances, one of them is mentioned about him, he had a pug nose. A nose was a little pokey up like this. And that he looked a little bit funny. But you know what's said about him? Whenever it's time for Hajj, it would be announced. Nobody can speak about the rulings of Hajj except for Atta'. And nobody can give the fatwa except for Atta'. And anybody who wants to learn about the religion of Allah has to go to him. He was the man. He was the one who had authority in the religion and the deen. And he is the one who had honor and respect. And whenever he spoke, people listened to him. Whenever he told them, don't do that, they stopped doing it. Whenever he said, go for this and do this, they would go and do it like this. They did whatever he said, because he spoke with knowledge and he spoke with wisdom. But if you've seen him outwardly, he didn't seem any of that appealing and the likes like this. The point is that the inner beauty is the true beauty. And then if a person, even if maybe he doesn't have that outward beauty, but he has inward beauty, it will beautify him and the people will love him. And the people will love him and he will have high status and rank. Why? Because of his inner beauty. But if somebody has outward beauty outside, he looks really nice, looks really handsome, mashallah, nice clothes, $150 shoes, all this type of things. But inside of him is dirty. Inside of him is corrupted. He has bad heart. He has bad religion, bad deen. And the deen comes from the inside. It comes from the inside and displayed on the outside. That beautiful appearance will not help him. We understand that? وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. Another benefit that we want to take, and we close with this one, is that the clothing that has preceded is a blessing. But also from the very beginning, shaitan, he tried to trick the people with regards to their clothing. So clothing can be a fitna. And the fitna of clothing is not something new. The fitna of clothing is something that had been established from the beginning with shaitan. The very first thing he wanted to do is to strip them of their clothing. And to strip them of their adornment. And he wanted to expose their private parts. So the issue with regards to the clothing, one must realize that this is a blessing and blessings must be shown. Proper gratitude. One must show thanks to Allah with the blessings. So from the blessing is the blessing of clothing. And the clothing must be in accordance to that which is pleasing to Allah. Whenever we come out of our homes, and likewise even in our houses, our clothing must be in accordance to that which is allowed, that which Allah has allowed and made permissible. This is very important. This is very important because many people, until this day, like Adam and Hawa, they're tried with the clothing. With the clothing. And also, the one who's trying with his clothing, in reality, he's exposing himself. The people that have a good inside, a good heart, they will see those people and know that they're exposed. They will see the people who have deen, the people who have religion, people who have piety in their heart, they will see those people and they'll know, A'udhu billahi, those people have been exposed. They're exposing themselves, wearing tight clothing that shows their aura. That whenever they make ruku', their bottom becomes shown. Some of them, they'll be in sujood, in the best position, in the best action, in the masjid, in the house of Allah. And then at the same time, what happens to his aura? What happens to his so'ah? It becomes exposed. Even in that state, because he has no care and no concern for the laws and the regulation of Allah with regards to his clothing. And that's from the very first tricks of shaitan. So we should be careful with regards to that. We understand that. Yes. Exposing our private parts, whether directly or indirectly by wearing tight, tight clothing or short, short clothing that riles up whenever you move. If you bend over, it comes up. And if you sit down, it goes this way and that way and the likes like this. Or wearing garments that are impermissible, haram, and the likes like this. This is not good. This is not good. This is from the way of shaitan. This is what shaitan calls to. Ya bani Adam, la yaftinannukum shaytanu kama akhraja abawaykum min al-jannah. يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا سَوْآتِهِمَا. This is the case of shaitan. So we should be aware. We should be aware of that. Okay, quickly. We have some gifts for some youth who are able to answer some questions. I'm going to start with a hard question. InshaAllah. But it's easy for whoever Allah makes it easy for. If you paid attention, maybe it'll be easy. Allah, He says in the Quran, you ready? كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The people of Nuh, they disbelieved in all of the messengers. How did they disbelieve in all of the messengers? And Nuh is the first messenger. His hand went up really fast. His hand was up. Allahumma barik. Come on, Abdurrahman. Allahu Akbar. If you disbelieve in one messenger, then you disbelieve in all of the messengers because they're all sent with the same message. So by disbelieving in Nuh, even though the other messengers didn't come, they disbelieved in all of them. They disbelieved in all of them. MashaAllah. Santa. Okay, that was a hard one. He got it right away too. Allahumma barik. Now we have an easy one, so you better have your hands ready. And if I don't see your hand, I apologize. I'm looking. Who is the last and seal of all prophets? Okay, right there. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, mashallah. Here's a little bit harder one. This one didn't come in the class. This one is special, huh? I'm gonna be, get a. This one is special. What is Prophet Muhammad's name?
Muhammad.
Huh? The whole name, or the most of it that you know, huh? Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Okay, that's good. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He got a book. This is what you need. MashaAllah, Matun. Talib al-ilm. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah. This is his name. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the very minimum. Who knows after that? Who knows more than that? Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn?
What are you talking about?
Marhaban. You got it. No, you want the big one. No, come on. This one.
What?
Who knows the grandfather? He said the father of the prophet is Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib. Ibn Hashim. Ibn. Okay, we stop there. That's good. Okay, mashallah.
How about me?
You have the next question, inshallah. Here's another question. Why did Allah send the messengers?
To warn them about Shaitan.
No, to warn them about Shaitan, mashallah. What else? That was one, huh? To give them glad tidings. Mashallah. Glad tidings of what? You want? Okay. Who's the first man ever created? Huh? No. Who's the first man ever created?
Adam.
Adam alayhi salam. Allah honored Adam over the rest of the creation with a number of things. Who can mention them? Okay. Allah honored Adam with a number of things over the rest of the creation. Who can mention some of them? Huh? MashaAllah, that's one of them. He ordered the angels to make sujood to Adam. This is so Allah honored Adam with one of these things, a number of things from them. Allah ordered the angels to make sujood. What else?
He's whining for it.
Huh?
He's whining for the bag.
Inshallah.
Who's your God?
Pay attention to the question. Okay, you have to be quiet, everyone. Okay, what were we saying? Okay, Allah honored Adam, alayhi salam. Special things Adam has that the rest of mankind doesn't have. He said one of them, that Allah ordered the angels to prostrate to Adam. We need some more things right here. He created him with his hands. MashaAllah. Good. Ahsanta. Here's some books. He created him with his hands. What else?
You get two if we answer them.
Yes. But that's not... Close. I'll give you more. MashaAllah. Okay, Habib. Created him from every part of the world. Okay, I'll tell you. He spoke to Adam directly. And Allah, he created him with his hands. And there was another one. What did we say?
I thought you already had one.
No? Ahsant, he breathed into him. The ruh. Allah created a special soul for him. Allah created a special soul for Adam and breathed the soul, the life into Adam. This is all from the special things that Allah, he had given or honored Adam with. Created him with his hands. He made ordered the angels to prostrate before him. He created a special soul for him like this. Okay, we understand that. Alhamdulillah. Okay, another question. What? How many pillars of Iman are there? You already got it. You already got one, huh?
Okay.
Right here. Six. The pillars of Iman are six. MashaAllah. Okay, who can tell me all six of them? Habib, you already answered? You got something down there?
Yeah.
No, we want to give somebody else, huh? Okay, right there.
Believe in his books?
We'll start with first to believe. On Allah. And the angels. And the prophets. What we say, let's start over again. Believe in Allah. The believe in the angels. Believe. And before that. What is this?
Believe in his books. Yeah.
Books in the books, okay. And then?
Believe in his messengers.
Messengers.
And believe in his...
The last? Help him out. Finish it off for him. Good. Ahsanta. MashaAllah, Ahsanta, MashaAllah, good. Alhamdulillah. Okay, what was the religion of Ibrahim? Al-Islam. The religion of Ibrahim is Al-Islam. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. The religion of Ibrahim is Islam. Okay, what was the religion of Musa? Huh? Islam. MashaAllah. Okay, okay, okay. What was the religion of the followers of Nuh? The followers of Nuh, what was their religion? Al-Islam, Al-Islam. I think you want candy, huh? Here you go, Bismillah. Huh? Okay. All of the prophets are Muslims, true or false?
True.
True. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Okay. Huh? Alhamdulillah. Okay, we're going to have to stop now. But I have some more books. Who wants a book?
Me.
There you go. Who wants a book? Bismillah. Come on, come on. No, free, it's free. You don't have to answer any questions. Okay, Bismillah. But you have to read it.
I need a book.
If you're going to take the book, you got to read it. Huh? You got the book? Okay, here. Read the book. Bismillah. Who wants the book?
Me.
You need the book? Bismillah. MashaAllah. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Who else needs a book? Everybody got a book? We're going to close with this. You got a book? Bismillah, Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. You got it? Alhamdulillah. Can you read? Taqra, Rabia. MashaAllah. You good? Okay, Alhamdulillah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.